The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bont. 7:06 today on February the 20th. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. I'm here with Eldon at the controls. Good morning.
How you doing, Carl?
I'm fine, and Savannah is here as part of our team, and turn Savannah on here.
She's on.
Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you doing?
So good.
You have got all of your money. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Because Savannah's going to be leaving us for a couple weeks here. Hey, but the weather. Today, sunny with a high near 75, north winds at 11 to 14 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 21 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Saturday, sunny with a high near 72, mostly clear. And Sunday, sunny with a high near 67, north-northwest, and wind around 15 miles an hour with gusts up to 22 miles per hour. It's going to be Monday. It was going to be sunny with a high near 67, so you're kind of dropping a little bit. Tuesday, Wednesday evening, it looks like it's going to be starting to cloud up. But Wednesday is going to have a high near 75. Well, great weather. It's kind of somewhat I don't know. Are we past winter? We were past winter when? In December? I think so. Hey, weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, of course. 365-3793, senior and veterans discounts, and it's a veterans-owned business. Okay, today we're going to be talking veterans issues with Rick Ortega, who come in at 8 o'clock, but we've got some other things are rolling through here, too, 7:30. But we always start off our Fridays with Spencer and Haven Humane, and you've got Theodore today.
Yes, I do. This morning I brought with me Mr. Theodore, and he is a pit bull mix, about 1 year old, tan in collar, and I've been calling him a little pocket pity because
he's a pocket pity.
Most of the pit bulls that we bring in here, as you know, are rather large dogs. And this boy right here, I would say he maybe weighs 45 pounds at max. And he's a short, little, squatty-bodied guy.
Yep.
Very friendly guy.
He came over. When you say his name, or he comes over, licks your hand. He's got a friendly eyes, friendly face, and he's keeping his eyes on Bob, the Bob out there. Which I've noticed that all your dogs do. Isn't it interesting how they're watching him? Is there something about him that's causing this?
But there must be.
I mean, it's all your dog. In fact, the guinea pig tried to hide in your pocket when it saw the Bob out there, Bob Martin. I'm starting to wonder a little bit. Okay, tell us more about him. He seems very, very calm.
He is super calm. This has been his demeanor the whole time that he's been with us. Just nice, calm, quiet, well-behaved. He walks good on a leash. I mean, he literally, like, walks right next to you. I could drop the leash on the ground, and he would stay glued right to my side while we're walking down the side of the road.
He's got his chin on Savannah's leg there, he's petting him.
He thinks he's a big lap dog, so if you would let him, he'd climb right up on your lap.
Where'd you get him from?
Believe it or not, he came in as a stray.
Really?
Nobody ever came looking for him. Well-behaved, one-year-old, great dog here.
And he was already trained?
He already trained. Knew all of his commands, nice and calm, mellow.
Oh, my gosh, what a good dog. Okay, he's brown with some white on him, and he's got big brown eyes. And yeah, he looks pity, but so what? You know, a lot of us look pity. Eldon looks a little pity when I look at him. You feel a little pity. You're a catcher. You ought to be a little pity, right?
Yeah, just a tad.
Just a tad. Okay, just in the forehead. I can see it. Okay, and not you, Savannah. You don't look pity at all. No, Savannah is more of a, you know, if I'd look at Savannah, I'd say, you know what? Irish setter. You know, it's got those lean lines, pretty, you know, moves like that.
Wow.
There you go. You're the you're obviously the Irish setter of the office, and we have Pity over here with Eldon the catcher. I'm not going to go into the other ones. Okay. Anyway, how do we find Theodore a home?
Well, you could stop by the shelter at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653. I do want to remind everybody that today and tomorrow is the last day for the Pity and the Kitty special.
Pity Kitty special.
Where they're only $35 to adopt. It's a great deal. Neutered,
super,
everything done.
Super deal. $35. Everything.
Yeah, that's $100 off our normal dog adoption.
And I tell you what, you can, now what kind of house is he rated with? Theodore?
We have him rated for a home with kids 8 and older, just because when he does get excited, he can be a little bouncy, even though it takes quite a bit to get him excited.
Yeah, he's muscular and all that, but quiet. Just look at him. He's just a little gentleman over there.
He really is.
He is, and he's just really nice. And Savannah has been petting him ever since he's come in. He's going, I could do this. I could do this. Savannah, you know, what do you think?
I like this dog.
You do like this dog. Look at that. Look at the look on that dog's face.
I like it. It's calm. It just kind of hangs out by your side, and he doesn't shed.
That's right.
Appreciate that.
Pitties don't shed. Do they shed? They don't shed. Okay. Well, I tell you what a good-looking dog, and he's just looking around with love. Some dogs you bring in here, I kind of look at them and think, you know, they're good dogs, but they don't have the look that this dog has. So, everybody, what's the phone number?
241-1653.
And it's $35.
Yes.
$35 for getting Theodore today. No. I mean, you know what? You can take this dog home today and give him, you know, you got some kids. 8, 9, 10 years old. They're going to love this dog. And you can take this dog for a run on the river trail. It will stick by your side, and you probably don't have to worry too much about people bothering you because he looks like a pit. He just doesn't act like a pity. I guess he does act like a pity. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Spencer.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, of course. And we want to keep this up to 100%. We want to keep, you know, everybody, all of the media out here tries to work with them. What was he doing? Just stretching on the way out there? What was that? Is that cool? Uh-oh. He's still got his eye on Bob. All right. Good morning again, everybody. Carl Lundebot. You know, it's the thing I like about when we do this with Haven Humane. I mean, I like Haven Humane. I really stand for what they do, and we support them every way we can. But when I see these animals come in here, and I see, like, this last one that just came in, Theodore. Theodore was found. And you know what, they found him, and he was obviously trained, and he is a gentle dog. It's not like he's been kicked around or anything like that. But here he is, and he is puts his head in your lap and just wants to be loved on. When you see things like that, that's why we support Haven Humane, because they bring in cats, they bring in guinea pigs. They brought in the potbelly pig that one day. They've brought in rabbits. They've brought in everything. They haven't brought a horse in yet, but I think it's probably on its way. Anyway, do what you can. And if you can't adopt something out there, what you need to do is maybe stop through there, drop off food, drop off a donation. Anything helps down there at Haven Humane. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about things that are going on here. Anything from this talking about a pity party? I'm not sure. It's not just at Haven Humane. It was in Washington D.C. with this violent extremist group that met, and who wasn't invited? I mean, the Russian equivalent of the FBI was invited, yet our own FBI wasn't invited. And what exactly was accomplished there? And is there a chance? Is there a chance that everything that's going on here with Obama is losing all types of support among his own people by his refusal to address the Islamic side of this, yet said something that I want to talk about that I actually applaud him for. And we're going to talk about that as soon as we get back. Carl Lundebot, KCNR, 1460. It's Friday. We'll be right back.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Hello, this is Frank Strazzarino, president of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that when you buy goods and services in Reading, you are supporting a local business, its owner, and employees in these tough economic times, and your tax dollars give us better police and fire protection, maintain our roads, parks, and trail system, and contribute to our Reading quality of life.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl when the bot hits Friday. You know what? TGIF. Are we really into this? I'm going to talk to Savannah of a second here. But first, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Not only is Espresso Joe have the best coffee and the best drinks there, cappuccinos, lattes, everything. Walk next door to the finest tobacco store in Northern California. It has everything you could possibly imagine, anything from e-cigs to pipes and everything in between, and of course the finest walk-in humidor with cigars all rated by Cigar Aficionado. We've got the top-rated cigars in the United States right there at Tobacco and Brew, and veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Savannah, you know, I couldn't help but, you have been with us now for what, 2 years?
Close to 2 years.
And one of the things you do is you go on a mission every year.
Yep.
Last year, you threw yourself into the dangers of
Switzerland.
And I remember you coming back with your face had broken out because you had, you know, the chocolate.
I had too much chocolate. I had gained some weight.
Yeah, there you go. And this year, though, you are heading to
Indonesia.
A little bit different.
It is different.
A little bit different. And what are you going to be doing there?
We finally have our tentative schedule.
Uh-huh.
The first part is going to be flying into Singapore and taking a boat to some, I can't even say the name properly, but they're just these teeny tiny little islands. And we're going to be just doing, serving, building huts, anything with our host families. It's a really, 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 really poor island that we're going to.
So you have host families.
Host families,
and you'll
yep.
be staying with.
Yep, and we'll be in huts over the ocean. So the people that we are with are generations of fishers, and so they just go spear hunting in the ocean, and so we'll just get to live life with him for a couple days. Then we'll head to Jakarta, which is one of the largest cities in the world. So that'll be amazing to experience that. And then we'll be going to a cancer ward for children, serving there, mm-hmm. and come back. So it's going to be a pretty full trip.
2 weeks, right?
2 weeks.
Now, when you're out there in the villages, are you going to be, what do you do about drinking water?
We bring a ton of water bottles.
You bring a ton of water bottles. Yep. You bring those ones that kill 99% of, you know.
I'm thinking that's what's going to be happening.
I think I would probably do that. Yeah. You may not be ready for the water out there.
And they have one.
The sanitary facilities ought to just be great.
Yeah.
Probably one of the reasons they're over the ocean.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those conversations. But
are you ready for this?
When I went to China, we had to do things that weren't the easiest, but.
You can make it.
Yeah, for 2 weeks, it's fine.
For two weeks, you can do anything for 2 weeks, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay, well, you know what? We're going to stay in touch with you about this, and you're going to, I don't know if you're going to be able to have computer access, but if you do, you've got to make sure that you're sending us a little.
I think I'll have my iPhone that I can send, you know.
Send stuff to us and make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
Don't ask for money, okay? I don't want to get one of those things that's, oh, hey, Savannah, I'm stuck in Indonesia. Hey, please send me $500. Somebody took my, you know, those things you see every so often.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten one of those?
I don't know why someone would text me for money.
Well, no, it's a scam. They just send it out to everybody, and it says, Savannah. I'm stuck in Jakarta. Somebody took my passport, and the police are said they're going to arrest me unless you send me $500, and I will pay it back as soon as I get there.
I hear they do that to sweet little grandmothers.
There they go. I don't fall into that mode. Okay. All right. Okay, let's go on to, the VA. They have released a lot. They have released this report, this investigation. The Department of Internal Affairs, Veterans Affairs Internal Watchdog, determined that the Oakland, California-based regional office management mismanaged more than 13,000 disability claims found tucked away in a filing cabinet over 2 years ago, according to a report released Wednesday. The report came from the VA's Office of Inspector General. Now, this all started when the complaints reached the office of Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and he turned his people loose. And Aaron Ryan has been one of the ones that's been leading the charge on this. And we're going to have some of the people on next week to talk about this. But while there's no current mishandling of informal claims or improper storage of these documents. It's the ones from before. 13,000 claims found tucked away. Some of them dated back to the 1990s, were first found in a filing cabinet by a VA support team in 2012. And it's also then created a special project to address the unaddressed claims, though poor management led to more than 500 claims remaining unprocessed by June 2014. And when representatives audited the facility in July, 21% of the claims still remained unprocessed, plus the fact they didn't have the paperwork there to even say how many they had or how many had been worked. So, you know, these are claims of veterans who had, you know, that had things or their families, you know, illnesses or diseases or injuries that just stayed there. It was front page news in the San Francisco Chronicle. And there are some others who piled on, like Wall Street Journal, the Daily Caller, Stars and Stripes, all of these. It's, you know, that's things that this has all been done because people complained to Doug LaMalfa's office, and he turned his staff into investigators, practically investigators going down there. And when Congressman LaMalfa was on the show, he said, you know, they actually were trying to keep him, a congressman, from seeing these things, from going through and seeing it. I mean, they blocked where he could go. I mean, how in the heck can you do that? I mean, you are a agency of the government. Congressman Doug LaMalfa, just like the President of the United States, is an elected representative and of the people, and we're having problems in Oakland, and yet they still fought him on it. Anyway, a lot of the people down in Oakland have been replaced. Some of them have been have retired, which is what they do. They go in. They go into this big retirement mode when they're caught. All right. Okay. And some good news on the front page of today's paper. You have Parsons Junior High. where they honored veterans. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. They have this annual they have an annual show there, a celebration for veterans. And the and where they're honored, there's a brunch afterwards or a lunch afterwards. Great front page coverage. Great job by Parsons Junior High, but not only the staff but the students. And because you know, they tell the stories of the veterans. Each one of them is honored that's there. So I think that's absolutely fabulous to have something like that happen. Okay, other good news, I guess, is if you're working at Walmart. Walmart is giving raises. That's right. Walmart is giving raises. The big thing about they've said about Walmart is that, oh, my gosh, they make billions. They're not taking care of their people. And what usually happens is, you know, in Walmart, you know, if people – if they went to the spot where – if they went to the amount that people want them to pay, then Walmart, of course, would shut down and the and there would be nobody working. So now – it looks like they're going to give raises to about 500,000 workers at Walmart. Now, it's not only that, you know, that's happening. They're also training their people for advancement, and they're training them so they can have almost like it can have a career pattern if you want to stay and work at Walmart. Besides, you know, for many people, it's an entry-level job. That's it. They go on to something else. Here, they're going now, they're going to start also training their people, training them in sales and, you know, other things to help enhance their abilities to do their jobs, which, frankly, sometimes you could really believe they need that. But the other thing, but the big thing here is they're planning on raises. They're going to spend over $1 billion for this. On these programs. So I'm sure that there's going to be people out there that are going to say, oh, it's not enough. They've got to give them $15 an hour, which then means they're paid more than, you know, than your soldiers out on the front lines. But at least there's going somewhere with this. They arrested the, you know, the Las Vegas, the woman who was shot in Las Vegas. The one that was giving her daughter a driver's license, helping her learn to drive, giving her driver's lessons. They were passed by somebody. The daughter honked the horn at them. Then the story is that they came back and they shot the woman. Well, then it comes out is that, well, she came home and she called for her son, who's 22 and has got a pistol, and they went out looking for the car. And you think, well, okay, what is this? You know, they found the car and they followed it. Then they came back home. They didn't confront the car. Anyway, then the car comes around again and shoots her. Three guys in it, and they shoot her, kill her. Son returns fire to car. There's more to the story now. Now they're finding out is that you know, first of all, people were, you know, were enraged about it. Then they said, well, what is she doing chasing them? And that, you know, that, you know, people had donated saying, well, I want my money back. And it turns out now, it gets, you know, this is one of those things like it goes down further and further down the rabbit hole, is that now it turns out is that they knew the guy that was the shooter. And he was arrested like a block down from their house, living there. And that she had been almost like a mentor to this kid. That she had, you know, she had, you know, was, you know, had fed him, had, you know, clothed him and said, you know, you've got to grow up, you've got to blah, 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 and had known them. And then as the husband says, yeah, we knew who it was, but we couldn't say anything because this guy is violent. You know, we're waiting till the police could find him. So this whole thing is really convoluted at this time, but there is one thing. And the sheriff refuses, and the sheriff says, look, there is nothing to say that they did anything to cause this. And the fact is, yeah, her son has a gun, but he is, you know, he's legally licensed to carry that. And, you know, and that, you know, whatever happened, they still drove back and shot at her and killed her. So. It's a really, you know, this thing's going to just keep unfolding and folding. You may find out, what are you going to find out next is that it's a, you know, it's a wayward son or son shot her by accident in a gunfight. I'm not sure. I'm sure that's not it. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Carl in the Bot, KCNR, 1460.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
For a tax pro who not only understands taxes but can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, Certified Financial Planner with the Advice Center. He specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. If you have a business or you've lost a spouse who took care of the taxes and investments and you want an experienced, compassionate advisor, call the Advice Center at 244-7526. This month, Tom's offering a free investment tax review and a financial bingo evening at Tortilla Flats Restaurant on February 25th at 7 p.m. Tom will be joined by estate planning attorney Deanne Parker to answer your tax and legal questions. For great food, fun, and a chance to ask how to avoid probate costs, or if you need a trust, call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment tax review, or to attend our financial bingo event, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
At Dignity Health, we know that navigating healthcare can be confusing, especially during open enrollment. We are here with information to help you understand the Affordable Care Act and guide you through Covered California so you can find a health plan that's right for you. Whether it's an informational event in your neighborhood or helping connect you to our top-rated doctors and hospitals, we can help. Visit dignityhealth.org/enroll or call 1-855-233-0688. Dignity Health. Hello, humankindness.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot. Okay, we're rocking now. Told Elton, wake me up here. Elton, wake me up. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Owens Pharmacy. That's right. You know, they have a new program there. It's called MedSync. It's not a real new program, but it's something that they're doing here where they're having all your prescriptions are going to be synchronized, MedSync, so that they're all come up due on the same day. Now, what's that mean for? It means no more, you know, series of calls, no more series of having to go down there and pick up your meds. Everything's going to be ready on one day at one time. And here, if you're a member of MedSync and you can't make it down there for some reason, car won't start, it's just rainy and you just don't want to go out, they'll deliver to you for free. That's right. Nothing. Saves you time, gas, and hassle. Not only that, your pharmacist there are kind of like your last line of defense. They're checking what you're getting, what your prescription is. And you know, we got Gary Moore here from the Veterans Home, and we're going to talk about that, you know, about medications. And there's, you know what, if you don't have a pharmacist that knows what you want or what you're supposed to take, and they're not checking it, they don't know who you are, they could get something by accident. And so you need that last line of defense, and that's what Owens Pharmacy is. Locally owned, locally operated, a great success story here, 6 of them in town. Most locations open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6. Speaking of Gary Moore.
Good morning.
I just had to throw you in there.
I'm glad you did. You know, and if you don't mind, I'd like to comment on Owens for a second. You said their delivery service. I recently had a bone felon infection in my thumb as a result of it.
I was wondering about, you've got this, you know, you're bandaged, you're all bandaged up there.
I call it a Flintstone thumb.
Okay. Yeah, but that,
but, you know, short story.
Those cartoon thumbs, yeah.
I chewed a fingernail a little bit too short, and it got infected. And it got infected all the way to the bone, so I had to go to the wound clinic because it was a flesh-eating thing, and it ate 75% of my thumb. So my thumb now, after all this treatment, is being regenerated and growing back. In about a month, I'll have brand new thumb, basically. But my point here was about Owens. I had to go in to their infusion clinic and get an IV, pick line in my arm and all that stuff. And they delivered all of my medications to my house.
There you go.
And it on my schedule. Like, they showed up at like 7:30, 8 o'clock one night to get them there on time. But there was a time when I could not accommodate their schedule because I had a meeting over at a restaurant on Hilltop Drive. Their delivery guy came to the restaurant and delivered my meds.
You know, see, this is what I'm talking about.
See, that's service.
This is service, and they take care of their customers.
They do.
And when I shook hands with you, there's no chance that I'm going to get a flesh-eating bacteria on my thumb, is there?
No, the infection is 100% gone.
Okay, just
now
sure.
It's just regenerating tissue. That's the program I'm on right now.
I had no idea that. You know what? Linda fractured her finger a couple weeks ago, and because it also – she also – you know, because she jammed it, a door slammed on it. And so it cut the skin, too. Mm-hmm. And they said ordinarily they wouldn't, you know, I mean, they would just bandage this up and because, you know, or put a finger stall on it. But because it was an open wound, there was a chance that it would, because it was an open fracture.
Yes.
And so it could work, germs could get in there and get to the bone and cause the same thing you had.
That's exactly.
And so
right.
they gave her shots and antibiotics and that. Of course, you know, she's fine now, but. Sounds like what you had.
That's exactly. It sounds like what I had,
or what she could have had if she hadn't done that.
It was very uncomfortable, and the Mercy Wound Clinic and Owens took really good care of me, and they got a hold of this thing because the first thing it'll do is it'll move from my thumb to the rest of my hand, and then up to my wrist, and then my arm. So I could have lost my thumb, my fingers, my hand, my arm, all the way up to my shoulder if I didn't get a hold of this. And they did a great job.
Gee.
I know, scary.
From chewing on your fingernail.
Yeah.
Didn't anybody tell you? You don't chew your fingernails.
I have not chewed them since that day. And
it's amazing how a near-death experience or near loss of thumb.
Yeah, experience. I call it a life-changing experience for me, which was good. So anyway, I didn't mean to chime in on the Owens thing, but quality care.
You know, see, this is the thing is, you know, they say, well, Carl's talking about it, you know, they're advertising. Well, they are, but we also use Owens. Mm-hmm. Anybody that we talk, you know, that we do live reads for, we use. We've used them or that we know their businesses, we know them. We have no problem with that. So with Owens, you know, having them, you know, they've been in here before and, you know, and we know what they do, but having somebody that's just, hey, this is what I've said. They followed you to your restaurant where you were working so they could hand it to you.
Yeah.
You know what? You can't beat that.
That's perfect.
Okay. Now, Gary is the public affairs officer, public information officer out at the Veterans Home.
Yes.
And it's been a while since we've talked, and you've opened up a couple of new things out there.
Last time we were here, we were with the administrator, Tim Bausman.
The new guy.
Who, I got to tell you, is one of the greatest administrators of a healthcare facility that I've ever met. He is he's a great manager of people. He's not a micromanager. He lets people do what he has hired them to do. And the place is running about as smooth as I can imagine. Love it out there for me. And a couple of things that you mentioned that we have opened now. All five neighborhoods of the Veterans Home are now open.
Good.
It's a wonderful thing. As of yesterday, we have 89 residents. And our projection, we're on a track right now to admit two per week. So by August, the place should be full.
Wow.
And we're on target.
You got people backed up and ready to go and come in, huh?
We do. And, you know, when we first opened the Veterans Home, it was a matter of getting the word out to the, you know, whole state of California that this home was here. And that took a while. So applications were slow coming in because they didn't know about us. So it's been a year and a half now, and that's part of what I do is I travel around the 10 Northern California counties, and I go to veteran service offices, and I attend job fairs and things like that and talk about the veteran homes just to let people know that the home is there. Now, a year and a half later, there's a steady stream of applicants.
Right. Do Northern California residents have a step up?
Nope.
So it could be anybody.
Anybody in the state of California.
So you could have a Redding resident who just doesn't make it because somebody is it like first come first serve, or is there like a level? Like you have to meet a certain level.
Well,
I have my retirement. I'm okay. You know, I get around. I just want to live over the retirement home like I did in the barracks.
I understand.
You know, and then there's somebody else that's, you know, aged and they don't have a lot of money and all that.
That is all determined by what they call a PATS system. It is a scoring system. So when you come in and they sit down and they interview you, they ask you all these questions. And, you know, if you have a Medal of Honor, that gives you so many points. If you were a prisoner.
You think?
Yeah. If you.
That ought to be pretty good. That ought to be 100 points right there.
Absolutely. I don't know how the PAT system works, but it's a scoring system. If you were a prisoner of war, you get so many points for that. If you were in World War II, you get points for, you know, and so forth and so on. So, and then when it's
Do these
all,
have to be declared wars?
No.
I mean, because you got Korea, you got Vietnam, you've got Desert Storm, you've got the Balkans,
it could be
the War on Terror.
Any military conflict
you
know, gives you a certain ranking.
Okay.
Okay, so if there's a man or a woman veteran down in Long Beach and their military credentials give them more points than you who live here in Redding, chances are they will get
Long Beach will get it. Okay, so but it's based on a point system, and it's not a it's like everybody gets the same points.
Well, another thing that's important is if you applied 3 months before that person in Long Beach, you're going to get in first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The point systems really matter, but they're taking them as they receive them, then they run them through the point system.
Okay, so...
So we're not going to hold off on you just because somebody might have more points on you 2 months down the road.
Okay, so if you've got an opening and I've got here and you put me through the point system, okay, here goes Carl.
Absolutely.
But if there's two of you coming in at the same time is when that point system...
That would be correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a pretty elaborate system.
You get extra points for being, like, Irish?
No.
Okay. Just wondered. I've just wondered. Okay.
And, you know, you talked about money a little bit, and I will tell you this because it's really important, is there is a shared cost for veterans to live in that home. And it's a certain percentage of their income on the residential side, and then it's a little higher percentage on the skilled nursing side. Mm-hmm. Now, what that means is we're not going to turn you down because you only make $100 a month. We're just going to take the percentage that we take out of that $100.
Right.
But then again, if you're a big real estate tycoon and you're retired and you're a veteran and you make over $1 million a month, we're not going to take that percentage of your $1 million a month. We have a cap, and I think it's like $4,600 per month.
Okay.
On what the shared cost would be.
Well, you know, that's fair.
It is fair.
You know, it is fair. If you've got means to do it, because I'm a firm believer. If you've got means to do it, you pay for it.
Absolutely,
and everybody needs to put some skin in the game. So if you only make $100 a month, okay, so you pay $1, but you know, guess what? You are paying something.
Well, not only that, is you earn that right to be a part of that home as a veteran.
And instead of just being an entitlement, it's not an entitlement; it's something you've earned.
Yeah.
So you know, don't get me started on that one. we had a local person here, a retired person, said that he was willing to give up veterans' homes. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
And the comment was it's not in the Constitution and it's not in these things, and why have veterans' homes? Save the money.
Well, that person, and I think I know who you're talking about, and he has a valid point for him and his view, and I respect that. But I don't think one of his comments in that statement was they serve very few veterans. And to me, if you serve one veteran, that's good.
I understand how, you know, some people will never go to a veteran's home because I mean, I don't plan on it. Not because that I wouldn't. It just that's not in my plans, my retirement plans. But they do help people. They are out
Absolutely,
there.
Yeah.
And to think that, you know, and veterans that need help. I mean, you know, we're so quick to help all these other people that aren't even citizens of this country or they haven't, you know, I mean, it's just when you go on and on. So now you have a citizen who has put his life on the line, and many of these guys are all combat veterans that you've got in there. And so the country can do something like this. I mean, if you want to start looking at things you can cut out, I've got a list.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I've got a big list out there you can start cutting back on, you know, and but yet, I think that a veteran's home says something about a country. And it says something about a people that take care of their veterans.
It sure does, yeah. So, you know, with those comments that that gentleman made, he's entitled to that. It's, you know, free speech, and he's got some valid points and some things. I disagree with some of them, and that's okay. I don't think that he would want me to publish something that says what I'm going to give up is my support in a monument that you're working on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I respect what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, whether I like him or what level I like him or dislike him doesn't even matter.
It's got nothing to do with anything about that. It's you know, I was quite surprised when I saw that.
Oh, I was too. It stirred up some people.
It did. And the only reason I brought it up is because you're a level-headed guy. And I liked your answer because it was something that we can, you know, that you can say is that, it, to me, a country needs to take care of its veterans. And I, frankly, I think there ought to be 100 more veterans homes. Maybe 1,000 more. Maybe 1,000 more veterans homes because guess what? It's kind of something that it tells people is that, hey, we did appreciate what you did. You won the Great World War. You built the world afterwards, that greatest generation, the Koreans, the forgotten veterans, Vietnam, oh, my God. You know, I mean, all these people. I think that it's something that our country could do and do well because we've got the capabilities of doing that. And yet, it takes us 6 years to build one hospital.
I know. You know, and it really, regarding all the state levels of bureaucracy to get things done, it comes down to people. And there are some people. Yeah. We have veterans who work there, and we have non-veterans who work there. And the way to, rather than just say thanks to a veteran for what they've done is to serve them. And that is a big deal. I mean, I'm not a veteran, but that doesn't mean I can't serve them.
That's right.
Passion.
That's right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm here with Gary Moore, the Public Information Officer of the Veterans Home.
Thank you.
We're talking, doing a kind of a catch-up on everything that's going on there. Plus, they've got some programs going on out there that are for veterans, but maybe not people that are going to be living in the home. We'll be right back.
Prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al's Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. She does to live, she does to sing, she does everything.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindabot. It's Friday. Good morning, my friends. Yes, I'm waking up now. I'm getting, I just haven't had any caffeine today. I haven't had any caffeine for like 14, 15 hours. And, you know.
That'll take a guy down.
It takes you down fast. You know, I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm feeling good. There's no caffeine in my system. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst, a veteran-owned business, offers a full guarantee from chips to cracks over 24 inches in length. Jeff can fix them. Give them a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street in Redding. Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. I've got a 12-inch crack in my windshield you can't even see, and it's been in there for – he fixed it 6 years ago.
12-inch crack?
12-inch crack. It's down in the bottom there. See, if it goes across the top, he'll tell you. If it goes, you know, where your line of sight is, and he'll – a lot of times he'll just say, don't do that. You know, right. But if it's down on the sides or up – man, he can fix them, and they stay fixed. I mean, 6 years now.
That's pretty anyway, impressive, actually.
It is impressive. Okay, I'm here with Gary Moore, who is the public information officer of out at the Veterans Home, and I threw a curve at him just a couple of minutes ago, but he's good at this stuff.
You know, I can hit those curveballs, yeah, and I appreciate that, sure.
But you know what? It was something that came up, and I didn't address it then because I thought, well – I didn't agree with it. And, I mean, I know this guy's – you know, his heart's probably in the right spot, but I just didn't understand it. Anyway, but it wasn't – anyway. There's something going up on at the Veterans Home.
Yes.
Next week.
Tuesday, the 24th, from noon until 1, the state of California, CalHR specifically, puts on a little seminar, and they do it the last Tuesday of every month, and it costs you nothing. And we are hosting it. I just found out about it a couple of days ago. So we said, absolutely, we have veterans in this community that may have a great interest in it. And the title of it is Making the Transition from Military Service to State Service. And that is, you're coming out of the military, you're going to the civilian world, and you get a job. Well, to get a job with the state, there is an incredible process you have to go through with testing, finding an exam to take, taking that test, passing the test, getting on an eligibility or certification list, and then you can apply for work. It's a long process. It takes 2 to 6 months minimum.
Well, that's okay, because once you get hired, they can't fire you.
That's pretty much. That is so true. What they will do, they will relocate you. But that's beside the point.
Well, you know what? This is probably one of the first – look, your cheeks are red here on this one.
Well, it's yeah, I mean, you're right on the money with that.
I mean, I'm kind of being facetious in a way. I'm sure if there's something that would cause you to get fired, maybe, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
You know, well, illegal stuff.
Illegal stuff.
Things that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, sure.
And but, you know, to get a position with the state is a valuable thing. And I always tell people, I don't believe that the state of California is in a healthy state, so to speak. However, working for the state of California, the state really takes really good care of their employees.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean,
they do.
I'm sorry, but you know what? Yeah.
Don't be a
CalPERS. I mean, come on here.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about it is people are so, you know, the people I've dealt with at the state level. And I've dealt with them lately for a variety of reasons. I have nothing but great respect for these people. And because they've been nothing but helpful. I mean, extremely helpful. And so when I see that, I think, you know what? Okay, fine. And sometimes it takes somebody has to open that door for you to, you know, to say, okay, here's the number to call. Because sometimes it's really difficult to find the right person.
Or even get a person.
Or get a person. But once you get it. They are, I mean, they have been extremely helpful to me and I think to other people. So, I mean, the level of work and competency of the people I've been dealing with, in fact, in the feds, the state, the city, the county, mm-hmm.
I've got no complaints about it. But again, you know, but we're driving ourselves into a hole in the ground with the cost of retirement and health care and all these things that are going on there. But a job working for the state is an honorable job. Mm-hmm. It's an honorable job. So, and we need good people. So, I mean, I would encourage people to do that.
You know, one of the things that, you know, you chuckled a couple of moments ago when I said they
chuckled.
Take care of
no,
the
no.
people.
I lost it you, there. Yeah. I started laughing so hard I started coughing.
His cheeks were red.
My cheeks were red.
But I tell people when we're trying to hire them, most people by nature, Carl, and you probably agree to this, they focus on the bottom line. This is how much money I'm going to make per month because these are the bills I got to pay. I got to make this X number.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what people do not look at when it comes to state service is you get 2 weeks of paid vacation every year. You get like 12 sick days paid per year. You get like 8 or 9 holidays paid per year. You get 2 personal development days per year. That's over a month of time that you're not going to work in that year, but you're going to get paid. And that doesn't include the medical benefits, the health benefits, vision, and dental. You know, this silly little Flintstone thumb I'm packing around is going to be to a tune of about $25,000 when I'm all done with it. The insurance,
how much do you have to pay for that?
The insurance that I have through the state, my total out-of-pocket cost will be $4,600 of that.
Okay, so you're paying. You've got deductible and all that. So
there's deductible, okay. But, you know, $4,600, $25,000. You know, there's like,
you know what? I
there's
understand.
Like $20,000.
I understand.
In insurance benefits.
Insurance benefits, things like that. Yeah. And you're right. You get a month. Really, you're getting a month off from work.
That's right.
And you're getting paid.
That's
for
right.
that. And do you get more than 2 weeks? I mean, if you've been in longer, do you get more? Like in the military. Well, no, that's not
you know
fair.
What?
That's not fair. At companies like my father worked for, you know, when you start out at a company, you get a week off. And then you can
right.
work your way up to 3 and 4 weeks if you've been there long enough.
I believe, I'm not exactly positive
I'm
about
not sure
this,
about
but
the state.
You earn a certain amount of hours per month. Right now, it equates to 2 weeks per year. And I think if you're there 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and
now,
20,
if you don't
it might
use,
add to that.
Yeah, now, if you don't use these all end up at the end when you retire, they add this on. For your retirement pay?
You can take that a couple of different ways. You can take a cash payout.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you've got 1,700 hours on the books.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, they don't like you to keep 1,700 hours on the books. Their cap for CalVet is 600 hours on your paid leave.
Mm-hmm.
They will either A, cash you out with that, or I don't know the exact math on it right now, but if I've got 1,000 hours on the books
–
I can retire 1,000 hours earlier.
Okay, in the military, what they do is, if you come up with 60 days of leave on the books, you can take leave then and do 60 days of leave. You know, in other words, you can leave early if you're not being discharged
mm-hmm.
for that 60 days.
Okay.
The other thing they could do, or you could say, I want to be paid. For that 60 days. They
so
can do that.
So it equates to being the same thing, basically.
Okay. Well, good. So y'all are out there to help people to get our veterans. And by the way, as we know, our veterans' unemployment rate is horrendous. Horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
It's up, you know, it's up in like 15 or 16% and much higher than that, probably. So this is a way, and so we have veterans around here. This is a great way for them to come down and learn how to get a job with the state.
All veterans are invited to come out on Tuesday. You don't have to make an appointment. Just show up. I've got about 25 seats in the conference room, and the state, via teleconference, is putting on a seminar on how to transition from military service to state service, and you're all welcome.
The other thing about this, too, as a veteran, you get points.
Yeah.
On your exams because you're a veteran too.
Well,
the state does that.
With regards to exams, there's a new law as of January 1st this year. I'll make this quick because I know we're wrapping things up.
We got a minute. We're
okay. The state hires on a ranking system. If you take a test, you have to place within the top 3 ranks based on your score. Now there could be in rank number 150 people, or there could be one anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news for a veteran, this is a benefit. As of January 1st, if you pass a test with just a barely passing score, automatic rank number 1.
Okay.
For a veteran.
Great. Great.
Automatic.
You know what? And I'm talking to Highway Patrol. And if you're a veteran and same kind of things, you pop right up there.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. And they deserve it. And we're happy to provide that.
Great. You know what? Thank you.
Yeah,
anybody can do it. The only thing you have to do is be a veteran.
That's it.
Hey, there you go. Gary, thank you so much. We didn't get a chance to talk about racing.
Well, I'd like to come back sometime in the near future. We have some amazing things happening.
We're going
to
do that. Okay. Hey, we'll be back right after these messages with Rick Ortega from the Economic Development.
Thank you.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Arctic air has much of the eastern part of the country shivering today. National Weather Service forecaster Patrick Burke says there's another winter weather pattern on the way.
It looks like this storm will bring a mix of freezing rain and snow. The greatest concern for ice accumulation is going to be from, say, southern Missouri and northern Arkansas, eastward across Tennessee and Kentucky towards West Virginia.
Amanda Pickens of Providence, Rhode Island, says her car was parked out inside the garage when some weight of the snow caused the roof to collapse. Some of the people who live in her home were not so fortunate.
A lot of the people that live in my house are Brown medical students or residents, so they actually, I think, use their car a lot to drive to the hospital. It's horrible, yeah.
She spoke to WLNE-TV. Temperatures and wind chills yesterday dipped near zero or below in the Midwest, Northeast, and even the South. Same things happening today. A so-called superbug outbreak suspected in the deaths of two patients at UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles, raising new questions now about the adequacy of the procedures for disinfecting some equipment. Dr. Robert Cherry of that medical center says endoscopic devices were contaminated despite the routine sterilization which they went through.
We took them immediately out of service. We stopped those scopes from being done, and we've implemented a whole new sterilization process that's much more stringent than what the manufacturer had originally given us.
At least seven people, two of whom died, have apparently been infected by a potentially lethal antibiotic-resistant strain of bacteria after undergoing endoscopic procedures that happened between October and January. UCLA said more than 170 other patients may have been exposed. They're being contacted as well. On Wall Street, it's been slow going for the major indexes. The Dow right now down just about 6 points. This is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. Finally, my wife Vicki said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
We called them, they contacted all of our creditors, they stopped the collections calls, they got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
Members of Congress from urban areas are hoping to restore a commuter tax credit that expired at the end of last year.
New York's Peter King has joined with six others in sponsoring a bill to return the tax credit for mass transit commuters to $235 a month, the same credit given for commuter parking. The transit credit was cut by more than half when it expired at the end of 2014. It's part of a package of more than 50 so-called tax extenders that most Republicans would like to make permanent. Democrats argue they need to be paid for.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. NASCAR is getting in on the education bandwagon, pointing out that there's a need for speed that goes through math and science classes. NASCAR is announcing a years-long commitment to promote STEM, the buzzword for science, technology, engineering, and math inside of classrooms. NASCAR says it takes geometry and physics to get a race car to go so fast for so many laps. This is SRN News. Vice President Joe Biden continues to fuel speculation of a possible White House bid with his travel itinerary. Here's SRN's Greg Cluxton.
Last week, the vice president traveled to Iowa, the state which holds the first in the nation caucuses. This week, he went to South Carolina, an early presidential primary state. And now the vice president's office says he'll be heading to New Hampshire next week, yet another state with an early Democratic presidential primary. Mr. Biden has said he's weighing whether to run in 2016 and plans to decide by the end of the summer. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
Greece and its European creditors today looking to overcome major differences over the request from Greece for a six-month loan extension. On the other side are some Eurozone nations led by Germany who say that Athens needs to stick to the reforms, spending cuts, and tax increases that were agreed to in exchange for the original bailout loans. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Friday with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. At 8:05 in the morning here on February the 20th, 2015. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Give us a call. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It's 50 degrees out there right now. And today is going to go up to a high of 75, a low tonight around 47. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 72 and a low around 44. Some winds, not really much. Sunday, high near 67. Next week, looks like mostly clear. Highs around 72. Wednesday night, it starts to cloud up with a low around 46. You know, this weather is, there's no rain in sight, and we need it. And it seems like we just kind of like bypassed winter. We went like from winter to spring. I mean, in one day. It's February. In January, we had spring weather. In February, we've got spring weather. And imagine in March, it'll be like summer weather. Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. Hey, the weather's always brought to you, though, by our friends at Shasta Gas Propane, where their customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. Give them a call at 365-3793. Senior and veterans discounts, and it is a veteran-owned service there, a veteran-owned business. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Go on down. Leonard's got great sales going on all the time. 41 years in the business, 21 years right there is where he's at on Hilltop across from Sierra Gibbs. If you're looking for any type of jewelry, he has it. Plus, he's got the only trained watch repairman in the whole area, right there at Four Winds Jewelry. If you can't find it, it probably doesn't exist. If you can't find it at Four Winds Jewelry. Last segment, we had Gary Moore was with us, the PIO, Public Information Officer, out at the Veterans Home. And he was talking about the Veterans Home, catching up on that and things going on, but also about the jobs, doing a seminar next week to help veterans transition into maybe finding state jobs. And I'm sitting here now, though, with Rick Ortega, who is the local veterans employment representative for Workforce Services for EDD.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, you move it a little bit in closer and let's turn him up just a little bit. Okay? We okay? All right. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Lieutenant Colonel Bott?
Well, fine. How are you doing?
Absolutely.
Ranger?
Great.
Ranger, Ranger Rick?
Yeah, I've been noted by that for many, many years, Ranger Rick.
He brings me Ranger coffee, so it's kind of cool. I like that. So tell us what you do over there.
Well, I work with the state of California, like Gary said he did. I just work for a different department. I work for Employment Development Department, specifically Workforce Services. You know, within EDD, we have state disability, unemployment, tax, things of that nature. But
sure.
I work in that department that actually develops and gets people jobs.
Okay. And you're the veterans representative there, right?
Yes, I am. I work specifically with veterans, but that doesn't preclude civilians from going to the other half of the house at Workforce Services and getting the same services. We have more criteria coming down from Department of Labor, and we have a grant that we operate under. So we have guidance that we have to work with the veterans in various ways.
Okay. What about veterans and jobs? What are you finding? I'm sure you're following the unemployment
records or the unemployment rates for veterans.
Well, yes, and one of our departments is called Labor Market Information. That's another agency or aspect of Employment Development Department, and they track those numbers. They work in conjunction and support with Department of Labor and whatnot, and together they present those numbers. The bottom line is dismal.
Dismal.
Yes.
I think that's right. I think it's a good term, dismal. And the bottom line for those numbers, or I've been reading 15%, and I'm thinking is that's probably like the trumped up numbers we have for national unemployment being, oh, it's down at 5.7, and everybody knows that doesn't count the ones who've stopped looking. Those are the ones who are underemployed, the ones with two jobs and all this. And that brings it back up to right around 12. So I'm imagining that veteran unemployment must be up close to 20%.
You know, I feel a little reluctant to comment on that, but
That's not in your purview, but yeah. I mean, but this is what I read, and I read it. In, mm-hmm. I mean, I just know, you know, like Will Rogers, I only know what I read, I've seen this in many publications.
And the bottom line is, I get a lot of pushback from about the numbers, and mm-hmm. I simply refer them over to Labor Market Information because I don't deal with that. But I understand what you're saying. You hosted a program on here. A segment last week about the CEO of Gallup, I think it was.
Yeah.
Is it Gallup?
Yep.
Yeah.
He talked about it.
And what did you say about – what did he say about that?
Well, he just said the numbers of – the unemployment numbers have been stacked. And he said, this may be the last time you see me because – or hear from me because he's saying the government is stacking the numbers on unemployment. They're totally untrue. It's not 5% or 5.6%. It's, you know, it's much higher than that. And people need to understand this when they start talking about, oh, look, our unemployment rate is this. And, oh, look at all this. We're in trouble. We're still in trouble. But focusing on veterans that are coming back out, and we're in the process of throwing out or forcing out tens of thousands of veterans over the next couple of years because they're, quote, downsizing the services. And to downsize the services means people have to leave the service, which then means they have, you know, they should be finding jobs on the outside, and there's no jobs out there. I mean, this is we're setting ourselves up on this thing where you're going to have a mass of veterans that aren't going to be able to assimilate.
This is very true, and we have directed to go ahead and help veterans. And I know you talked last week about the homeless veterans, so. That's our primary objective, is we're gearing up for the homeless veterans. We already are up for the homeless veterans, and that's our priority of service.
Right.
If we have somebody that says they're homeless, we have to give them everything we can and get them squared away.
Okay. You know, we were talking earlier about the morass of all those that investigation down in Oakland. And I was talking about Congressman Doug LaMalfa's office, who had led the charge on this to find, you know, this going on. And Congressman LaMalfa is on the line right now. Good morning, Congressman LaMalfa.
Hey, Carl, how are you doing?
We're doing great. I'm here with Rick Ortega, who is the Veterans Representative for the EDD for the state, and Gary Moore, who is the Public Information Officer for the Veterans Home. I mean, you couldn't pick a better time to call.
Oh, hey, good. It's a good strike for veterans here with the investigation. You know, the Inspector General doing that work. Now, I think the one of the first things though is that given the level of problems and even corruption down at that office, this level of work isn't going to be the end there, because this really barely scratched the surface of what we know from our whistleblowers down there and the amount of complaints and delays our veterans actually face. So there's still a lot more problems in there. This scratches the surface, but at least we have a place to pivot off of for the work we need to do to continue to root it out. And they're already trying to glaze over it down at the Oakland office.
Well, I saw the statements that they made that, oh, this was something that happened before, we don't have to worry about it. And indeed, we're talking 12,000 cases that they found. You know what? How many did they not find because their record keeping was so abysmal that they're not even sure what, you know, who and what, when, how, or any of this?
And part of the conclusion of the report, and I hope this is only a preliminary portion, we're not going to let it stop here, but is that, well, we can't find them, therefore we can't prove they exist, therefore it's almost like it didn't happen. Well, there's 12,000 to 14,000 veterans that have, you know, unless they've resubmitted a different file, then we don't know which ones are which anymore, and probably the veteran doesn't know which one he is, if where the heck their files have gone. So it can't just end there like, well, we can't find them, so I guess what do we do? Then that means you go back uphill to the people that had the systems in place that allowed this to happen. There needs to be answers to this. Somebody held accountable, because, you know, just because you can't find it doesn't mean, you know, you say, oh, we can't prove a negative. Well, that's not good enough. So we will continue. We will press for more Veterans Committee hearings on that. Bring the whistleblowers in would be my goal. Have them be heard in front of that congressional panel. More so, people that are no longer working there. Some of them have been fired. Some have quit because the conditions are so terrible when they see what happens to fellow veterans that they, some of them can't take it anymore. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of national press on this for this cause. You know, Wall Street Journal, a lot of the Bay Area papers, and we're going to keep pressing that too, because we want this story to get out there farther and wider and more people know what the outrage that this is.
Well, this all started when you started getting reports and you turned your staff loose, and that's the way I explained it. And on this, and to start searching to find out what was happening to the veterans' claims. You know, people are saying, hey, I've had a claim in there for 12 years and or longer. I mean, the 90s. And, I mean, we have people here in town that it was affecting, and that's, I know that that was one of the things that kicked it off.
It really crystallized for us when I became a federal legislator, you know, electing Congress there and took office in January 2013. You know, you hear about these issues as a state legislator, you can't do a lot about them at the state level on federal issues like VA. You know, you try and help at the state level, you know, like some of our past work with veterans homes, this and that, but, now these are our cases. People come to us, congressmen and your staff, please help us. We have the direct ability to affect it as a federal legislator. And so that started right out of the chute, January 2013, after I was sworn in. We started getting these calls. We started people pleading for us for help on this. And so we've been able to dig in and be pit bulls on this thing and start moving the ball a little bit. And so, and that's what they deserve. That's my duty, and our staff is very dedicated to it too, so I'm really proud of our team. You know, it isn't all me. It isn't me by a long stretch. We've had a dedicated team of people in our Reading office, Oroville office, even our Auburn office, and in Washington, D.C. that have all had a piece of this to help bring this about. And but, you know, thank goodness for the whistleblowers that were willing to step forward. But, you know, what helped them, too, was that they actually saw somebody was going to listen to them for a change instead of just, you know, write a letter and say, oh, well, they wrote back. They said they can't do anything. That's a lot of time where the buck stops with this thing. And when you have your veterans looking you in the eye on this and say, we can't get our benefits. We can't even get hurt. Our paperwork gets lost in Washington or St. Louis or whatever. And we thought you valued us.
Well, you know, we were just talking about, you know,
that go by, you know.
Well, we're talking today, you know, about finding jobs for veterans, and I know this is on your plate too, and the veterans' homes themselves, but finding jobs for our veterans, which is, you know, their unemployment rate is much higher than the national rate, which we were just also discussing that was you know, not true.
Well, you know, and that shows the difference in priority between us and some of the people the administration have allowed this VA to go along. Because we're worried about jobs for vets, they're worried about jobs for ISIS.
Well, yeah, I did hear that. Yeah, it was a little strange. That was a little strange.
But
you know what? This whole administration is strange.
Carl, it's not just Marie Harf as one maybe naive person on the State Department. The president's backing up with his chatter here at the at this summit they had of I don't know who they all are, but they know they have Israel haters there. They just concluded, say, well, you know, it's about poverty. Like, you know, you must not know a lot about the religious zeal, the dedication of ISIS. It isn't about because they don't have a good job. This is a deep-felt belief system they have of their interpretation of the Quran, and they're carrying it out. They want this fight with us. They want to bring on the end times here. They want their own version of Armageddon, and they're happy to do it. They're happy to die for it right now.
Well,
and so
and they've been,
as we contemplate what we're going to do about ISIS, we better be very, very sure what the playing field is before we think, you know, we're going to carry out what the president's authorized use of military force plan might look like.
Well, his,
you know,
his plan, though, I mean, is for everybody I've talked to, you know, things all you start putting restrictions on. Oh, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're only going to stay here for this long. I mean, you know, that's why doesn't, you know, people need to realize this whole thing started because they messed up, the administration messed up keeping our troops in Iraq after, you know, and when he first came in. And it was just a matter of time till you saw something like this. And I think any veteran that's out there, when you take all the troops out, like he did because he couldn't sign a status of forces agreement, you know, you could just see something like this happening. And it's just, you know, and this was the JV. I think he called them the junior varsity team. Well, that junior.
Compared to Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
These guys are making Al-Qaeda look like JV team
but
with their dedication. Their eyes are rolled back in their heads, and they are going for it. They want Armageddon. They want... They want to, you know, they're calling us out. When they behead those 21 Coptic Christian Egyptians the other day and torch the pilot in the cage and even more of them here. And is it getting much play on the news? Is that front page? Is that a top story on the news? I mean, you know, it's out there, but it's not being carried by the main news sources very well. And we're going to have a very huge decision to make here sometime within the next few weeks on what Congress does in response to the president's request for the authorized use of military force over there. And at least he asked us instead of trying to do it by executive power. So there's that.
Well, he wants to share this one.
Well, you know, I have to think cynically once in a while, too, and think, well, does he want only this limited role here? He's pretty much saying no to ground troops so that the next president comes in and has that weighty decision to make, and he doesn't. Only the problem is if indeed it is a necessary thing, and I haven't just automatically come to that conclusion because obviously these are troops means real Americans, they're real boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And those are Americans with families and all that. And if we're doing a halfway job over there, then I don't want any part of that for our people.
No, you know,
he wants to skirt the issue by saying, well, I'm not going to put troops on there, and he can be the high and mighty when the next president comes along. Whoever he or she may be does have that weighty decision. Well, they've gotten two more years off the clock where these guys, they're spreading the size of their land and their territory. And the interesting thing about ISIS, they are caliphate, okay? A caliphate means it's basically a state, and that's right in their name, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, if you use that ISIS word, or Iraq and the Levant, which actually is a larger area, and it includes Israel in their sights, when you use the Levant. So they have to be a holder of land for their legitimacy. They have to have a state. You know, Al-Qaeda, they don't mind maybe just popping up and, you know, popping up out of the ground and doing some stuff and going over here, over there, Iraq for a while, or Afghanistan, wherever they want to do their operations. It's less formal for them. So that's why ISIS really is the varsity team on this, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it has to be taken very, very seriously because their dedication is something that, you know, in their mindset is something few people can match.
You know, one of the things I think we need to worry about is when you talk about the troops on the ground, and boots on the ground, is in Baghdadi is where they said they burnt a number of Syrians, or they killed a number of people in Baghdadi, and that ISIL has taken that town, which is like 5 miles from al-Assad air base, which has got 350 Marines and other troops there. And 5 miles is nothing. So if they think that this is just – they're just not going to attack that base at some point, they're crazy. And I'm hoping is that we've got sufficient men and weapons and equipment there to defend that base. And that's a very large base, by the way.
Yeah, so that's something that's too grave to just hope, isn't it, Carl?
Yeah, it is. And you know what? If they haven't been reinforcing that – and so here we go – again, with a lackluster approach to it, a kind of like lead from behind thing, where Jordan and Egypt are leading the fight because we don't, for some reason, have this idea that this is a danger. And with the borders that we have, I mean, you know, frankly, Congressman, you know, that maybe we're at that point where it's time to just keep throwing things down there. Hey, we're going to shut down the border. We're going to do this and this and this and, you know, and protect our country. But that's one thing the government's supposed to do, is protect us.
Well, it is, and we shouldn't be leading from behind on all these issues. But just about, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want to be just a critic of the president, okay? You know, it always looks popular or easy or whatever. But darn it, almost every single policy has to do with the border, has to do with security, has to do with our intervention overseas, our treatment of Israel. They're getting it wrong, at least from what I think is a common sense, honorable standpoint. They're flopping around doing something that isn't sensible, isn't productive. It doesn't bring any confidence for our allies or even our own people that we're going to be doing the right thing. And that's not just a political criticism. It's like you just look at it, and I think most military people would say, what are they doing? I'm so frustrated by this, and we can't just let 23 more months of this term go by and wait it out. We have to take action, and we have to take decisive action on this ISIS thing, or their land that they control will be farther and wider and a greater threat to Israel. If they get a real partnership going with Iran, then, I mean, that becomes a very big threat. We're blowing it on Iran and their nuclear proliferation. The president can't even call this stuff for what it is. It's the Islamic State. You have ISIS extremists that are doing this job. That isn't all Muslims, but it's certainly a very, very vocal and visible portion that...
And it's one of the things that I we say we don't want to constantly bash Obama. And this is something he did say that I agreed with, is he called for the Muslim nations, the Muslim population, say, hey, you need to step up here and say, you know, and just, you know, not just distance yourself, but say that ISIL is not the representatives of Islam. And you need to do that because right now they've got the stage, and if you don't say anything, if you're not doing anything, they're going to continue to stage, and they're gaining thousands of people that are joining them all the time because they're the winners, and it looks like they're winning. And they're slowly, and I'm slowly, but they're starting to surround at least a 180 of Israel here with their, you know, with their people. And I just don't think Israel's going to let them come in and take over without some huge damage being done.
Israel will be a very prickly porcupine on all this, definitely. They are not going to sit.
Netanyahu,
I can't wait for his address here in the House, on the House floor here in a couple of weeks. And I wholeheartedly support that he can come here and that the House can invite whoever darn well pleases to come speak to the House and to the American people through that venue. If the president has his feelings hurt about it, well, he could have been a little more forthright with Netanyahu a long time ago. I mean, they basically name call him anyway. They don't like him. They even have some of the Obama campaign forces over in Israel right now trying to help flip the election against Netanyahu that's coming up in March. So, you know, they're not playing this straight. The excuse you heard, like, oh, we don't want to talk to Netanyahu because that would appear like we're helping to influence the Israeli election. Well, that's laughable. But, Carl, we have to, in the short term, make informed, thoughtful, careful decisions on what it is we're going to do with the AUMF request. The president has put the Congress's own stamp on that and demand that it's going to be a use of force that is dedicated 100% to winning. If we're over there, it's a war. If you're in a war, you
win
at all, with every piece of might and strategy that you can. You don't go play around. You don't hold back. You don't have no fire zones or this or that. I can't believe this is, you know, even since Vietnam, that this is allowed to be a strategy when we have people in harm's way over there with the tools and with a declared war or action.
Well, you know, Free Fire Radio, we need free fire zones.
Yes, sir. Hey, so I should probably let you go here. I'm sure you have to go make some money or something, but good to be on with you this morning.
Well, thank you so much. thank you so much for calling, yeah. Congressman. And you know what? Thanks for what you did with the VA. And I'm glad to see that, you know, the Congress is on top of this thing because, you know, frankly, it's going to take a huge effort from our country. And we need to take a look at our military right now because they're in the throes of they don't trust the leadership, the political leadership. They're looking at whacking away their medical benefits. There's just so many things going on at the same time. And then, we're cutting back, but we're not cutting back. We're getting ready to go back into a fight here, and it's going to be a big fight. And maybe people don't realize that. I think you realize it. And I think there's others that realize this. If we go after ISIS, it's going to be a big fight, and it's going to take several years, and it's going to take thousands of troops.
Well, there's I think approximately 40,000 of them, 20 to 40,000. I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, it doesn't have to be a world war type or size of fight. This is something I think, and it's not something we should be talking about on the front page. When the Pentagon comes out and announces their plans, I mean, who are the wizards that thought that would be a good idea yesterday on how we should do it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, the plan needs to be kept internally, but the way I would see it, it isn't a giant war for a long time. It would be, you know, you come in and there'd be an immediate, I mean, they're an external group. They're an on-top-of-the-ground group. They're not an underground group like Al-Qaeda. So they want to have, it's important for the Islamic State to have a state, to have a caliphate. You know, a guy we had in custody a few years ago, al-Baghdadi, is the head of it. We had him in custody a few years ago, and he's out there running the thing. So part of their existence relies upon them being like a country. And so if we can upset that and keep it off balance, then they aren't really what they want to be. They don't have the ability to have an economy like by seizing oil wells and all that. So there's a strategy there. Initially, I think, and I'm not the military genius, but you can come in, you can hit them really hard and destroy what they have, but you don't destroy what's in their heart. So there will be, from time to time, in my view, having to
continuous
renew the battle,
yeah.
And then it may go into dormancy for a while. But during that dormancy, you have to be ready. You can't just pull everything out of the country and say, hey, we've won, and have a political win.
And we already proved that doesn't work.
This looks like a permanent condition, yeah. Carl.
It does, and that's what it is. And our nation has to understand that. Hey, Congressman, thank you so much. For giving us a call.
And thank you. Battling for our veterans that have made this ability to fight it back possible. So this has just started on what happened with Oakland. So
great.
Long ways to go. So thank you, Carl.
Thank you very much. That's Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And we're going to take a quick break here. And we'll be right back after these messages.
It's that time of year again for the 33rd Annual Reading Gun Show, March 7th and 8th. Saturday hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, 1900 Hilltop Drive here in Redding, California. For more information, you can contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Eagles Landing at 222-8556. And all proceeds go to the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It is the 20th of February. 50 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, beautiful week. Weather's always brought to you by our friends at Shasta Gas Propane. We're locally owned and operated. Senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across from the subway. Man's last stronghold. Yeah. Great haircuts. Great prices, and veterans and seniors get discounts there. Another veteran-owned business right there. A lot of our businesses that we talk about are veteran-owned businesses. And speaking of veterans here, we have Rick Ortega, who is the head man when it comes to talking local veterans employment representative here for the EDD, located over here on Pine Street. And then Gary Moore, who is the public information officer from the Veterans Home.
Thank you.
And you asked him to stay because you all are working on things you and Gary work on, helping get the word out.
That is correct. We work closely together. As a matter of fact, he will come to our VetNet on time to time, which is held every Wednesday from 9 to 11 at our Pine Street location. And he'll show people, he'll direct people, he'll guide them through obtaining employment with the state government. So he's very useful to us, and we reciprocate, and it's kind of a joint effort. And yes, I did ask him to stay along because he's part of that teamwork. He's one of the tools we have in our community.
Well, it's nice to know.
A good tool.
A useful tool to the community. Hey, one of the things here is that you've got in March, it looks like you're going to have a lady coming in to talk about an overview of the Shasta County's labor market. And topics are going to include industry and job growth, future occupations, local census data. And that's going to be on March the 12th.
That is correct. And that's through our EAC. We're chartered to enhance businesses through employment advisory councils. We have one in Tehama County. We have one in Shasta County. And we work and put on these seminars such as this. I mean, last week we had the workers' compensation, which is interesting for businesses to run. They need to know about this. We had the labor commissioner come in. And this upcoming event is for Ms. Stock, who was the individual I was talking about, mm-hmm. who runs the labor market information component here in Redding. We're very fortunate to have her. We were talking about the numbers previously, but she is the one. If you have questions, she is the one to direct them.
Might be interesting to have her on.
I agree, and that's why I brought
that. And to talk about this, maybe get her on, or even if she calls in. She's from where? Is she right here in town?
She is right here in town.
Oh, okay.
She's really knowledgeable, too. I attended one of the things that she put on, and it's not just that she gives you a bunch of numbers. She explains them and makes you understand what those numbers really mean. Mm-hmm. So she's a good presenter.
Yeah, she's always willing to sit down and discuss the numbers, the facts, the figures with you. She's always done that, and I applaud her for that.
Okay, so I'm a veteran, and I want to get a job. So I come in to see you?
Is that how it works?
Can't help you.
Okay.
You're not homeless. You're not uneducated. And you're not low income. Those are recently, since July, are the parameters we have to operate under. I can still send you to the other side of the house for the non-veteran assistant. But we
Wait a minute. I come to you. I just got out of the military. Okay. All right. I'm not homeless. I don't have a job. I'm not on any type of drugs or anything like this. And I walk in where it says to my local veterans employment representative, and you say, sorry, you can't help me?
Well, I can help you because you just told me that you got out within 1 year. That's another parameter.
Okay, you got to come out within 1 year.
Yeah. There are various parameters, and I think I mentioned them all, but we have really been, our aperture has really been tightened.
So you've got to be homeless. You've got to, what'd you say again?
Homeless, no high school education, and I know I'm going to forget a few, low income, and we're still trying to ascertain what that actually means here in Shasta County. It can have a different standard in Tennessee, Florida, whatever. Yeah, things of that nature.
Okay, and then if you don't fit into that, then you go next door.
You right? go next door to what the workforce, the other half of the workforce that handles civilians.
Okay.
All civilians.
So I guess, okay. So
or
I guess
you give me a call.
Or give you a call.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing down there at the veterans home then?
Well, any veteran who calls and is looking for work, I can show them the state process.
Oh, the state
process. I mean, if it's a government job that they're seeking, things
right.
like that.
But you're looking for any type of job, right, Rick? People.
Well, we try to match them up, yes. I go out and I talk to employers. I try to identify maybe a resume to a potential job or an employer. And that's how I work. But we have
so people that aren't homeless that do have a high school education. They've come out of the military. They've been looking for a job for 12 months, you know, or 13 or 14 months. You know, they moved here, you know, from maybe Southern California, and they're because their family's up here and all this. You've got to push them over to another side, who's maybe a non-veteran, right?
That is more or less true. Yes.
Okay.
But understand, these are the parameters that come from the Department of Labor.
Oh, no, I understand that.
And our grant that we operate under.
Okay, now this is the same group that thinks we should give jobs to ISIS and not to our veterans. Is that the feds? Is this the federal?
That response is above my pay grade, but I'm glad that you mentioned that. Unemployment is, in fact, a major source of discontent and fomenting issues.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I feel like 90% of the issues that face our police, our One Safe Place, all of these could be solved with jobs. If people had employment that they felt like they were doing something, that they were, taking care of their families or whatever, that they had a future, I think that would help a great deal of the problems we have facing us right now around Shasta County and America as far as that goes.
Self-esteem.
Yep.
It's so important to have that. That's a component in Maslow's hierarchy of physiological needs, and it's way up there. You have to have a job. You have to have a sense of purpose, and everybody needs a piece of the action and something to claim their own. If it's a job, it's a house. You get disenfranchised, and you start thinking, that you're not part of the...
You're not part of society.
No.
So then you drop out and you take up, then you end up in one of these illegal camps in that substrata society we have out there that's living God knows how. And they've just stopped being part of society. They're still collecting from society, but they're not part of society anymore. I don't want to see veterans that happen to veterans. And I know you don't want to see that happen to veterans.
Absolutely.
And I know
not.
Gary doesn't.
Nope.
There's so many things that we need to do to help our veterans, and transitional things like training and mentoring and resumes, helping all of this, and then having jobs set aside, frankly set aside, that veterans can apply for. And how can you do that? Well, we're taking care of a lot of people out there, and it seems like we could have, these jobs right here may be really great for transitioning veterans, and we want to fill them with veterans. I think there's a couple of companies that said they're hiring I think it was Lowe's or someplace.
Lowe's is one of them.
It said, we're going to hire 50,000 veterans or some large, huge number. I don't know if it's 50,000, but it was a lot of veterans. We are hiring veterans. And I would love to see that happen. I would love to see the banks here, or I would like to see Sierra Pacific, or I would like to see somebody, you know, here say, you know what, I'm going to hire 5 veterans or 2 veterans or 10 veterans. You know, all these businesses around here.
Well, it's funny you would mention Lowe's and Sierra Pacific. Those are two people I talk to.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sierra Pacific does.
Yeah, and they're very good. Sierra Pacific is going to come and talk to us.
Yeah.
They're going at that VetNet, Wednesdays 9 to 11, and they're going to present how to get a job and what they're looking for.
Now, are they favorably looking at veterans?
Yeah, they're one of the more veteran-friendly.
Okay, so see, places. Sierra Pacific is one of the big jobs around here. Great. So they're doing it. But I'm thinking is that, you know, the city should be reaching out. And the why aren't the police force? Why isn't the sheriff's department? And why aren't the city? Why isn't the city and the county looking out to hire veterans? Do they, you know, I'm not even sure. I know one of them gets, I think both of them give preference points, but I'm not sure.
Well, the city is rather vague about their veteran hiring preference. I've asked that question of them before, and I think they give a couple of points somehow. Mm-hmm. The county, I'm not really sure of. Depends what department you're talking to.
Well, it should just be the county. The county says, okay, we're going to give 5 points on the test for preference for veterans, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it is, and then 5 for the city. And if it's vague, maybe we need to find out, because I've always been told that they give preference points. Maybe I need to go back and change.
Yes. Look. Some of the documents from the county will say 5 points.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hey, we got to take a break here. I'm with Rick Ortega, who is working with the veterans over at the EDD, and Gary Moore, who is a public information officer out at the Veterans Home. And we're talking about the different things they're doing to help veterans find jobs, because right now the veterans' unemployment rate is twice what it is if you're a non-veteran. And that's we're going to have more and more veterans leaving. And these are a lot of them. These are young people. These are people in their 20s and 30s that are trained and have got a great background and could make super employees, you know. But we just can't seem to find them jobs in California and through the rest of the United States. We'll be right back.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al Style Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. It could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSave. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
Said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I'm Carl and the Bot. It's Friday, the 20th of February, 2015. 8:48 in the morning, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Martin and his people have been working on HVAC systems for over 20 years, providing just absolutely fabulous service to all makes and models of heating and cooling systems and for their customers. So many return customers, so many new customers. They offer warranties, guarantees. If you have an emergency, Martin's going to take care of that. So if it takes 7 days a week or 24 hours a day, they're going to take care of you because they treat people like family at Alliance Heating and Air. We use Alliance Heating and Air. Very, very happy with them. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. I'm here with Rick Ortega, who is a veterans representative for the EDD, which is, of course, the Employment Development Department of California. He's on here working down here on Pine Street with a grant. And then Gary Moore, who is a public information officer out at the Veterans Home. And the reason that Gary's staying on is because he does a lot to help people find jobs, veterans find jobs also, working through the state. And with you, Rick, though, you do it's not just state, it's or employment. It's public employment. It's private employment, obviously.
Yes.
Which you're working
federal,
for.
Federal, public, state.
So you have to train. One of the things we talked about a little bit about the break is used to be when Vietnam guys would come home. Oh, they're all crazy. You know, they're dope smoking, you know, all these things. Baby killers. And then and so now, though, you know, when you have even though that wasn't true. And then now you have the young men and women getting out of the service. Oh, post-traumatic stress. You don't know what they're going to do. You know, blah, 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 blah. They're not even looking. Employers may not even be looking at the true facts and figures that are out there about who does suffer from post-traumatic stress and these other things. So you talked about informing or educating the employers.
Oh, yes, the public as well. These are excellent employees. I mean, they've been places. They understand what it is to be on time for the most part, and they sacrifice and they know what it is to do a job. And I think really a lot of people do understand that. They still have to get over some of the types of injuries that some of our veterans are coming back with. They still have the Vietnam perception. You know, that was a bad, bad scene. We've learned from that. We're trying to address the issues now with TBI, traumatic brain injury.
What exactly is – can you talk about that? Can one of you all talk about traumatic brain injury? I know just from what I know of it is because of the types of weapons we've faced in Iraq – is with the explosions and everything, it's almost like you see, when the explosion would go off, it bounces your head. It's causing concussions. And because of that, it could cause a problem.
With your brain stem.
With your brain stem.
Yes.
And they're testing everybody mm-hmm. that comes back. And so what happens, what's the results, though, if you have traumatic brain injury?
I wish I could speak.
Loss of memory?
You have a lot of symptoms, and I don't know if I'm the one to go ahead and speak about TBI. I know that it's one of the things that a lot of soldiers suffer from.
Right.
It's memory loss. They have some other issues, and maybe Gary can speak to that. He might see that a little bit more than I do. He's in a hospital setting.
Well, you know, there's a variety of veterans out there, World War II all the way up to current. And as far as their medical condition,
I don't know what their medical condition is. I'm not privy to that information. It's a HIPAA, you know, it's a HIPAA thing. So,
well, I think,
and I'm no authority on TBI at all. I know of it. You don't want me talking about that.
Well, they tested us when we came back for this. If you've ever been knocked unconscious or in explosions or anything like this, of course, you know, they also tested us for depleted uranium. If you've been, around the smoke or around force, in combat where there's been depleted uranium used and all this. But the bottom line is, in post-traumatic stress, is that people with post-traumatic stress, it's not just not the military. It could be somebody, this lady got hit in the face with a coffee cup, I guarantee you, has post-traumatic stress from that, as does her husband. It can be anything. It can be caused from a childhood assault or any of these. My whole thing has been on post-traumatic stress is that we don't have a beginning point. You know, as a person comes in, how much PTSD do you have when you come into the military from your previous, from your life out there? You know, much less what you have at the end. How much of that did you bring with you when you came in? You know, so anyway, but the bottom line is that you are right, Rick, that they show up on time. They understand orders. They can give orders. They're, on the most part, better educated than the rest of the than the people that are out there. Though people don't realize that, and that they're, and what you said, they're used to sacrificing. They're used to accomplishing things and accomplishing their missions.
And chances are, these are the same kids, young men and women that played organized sports. So they've got that going for them, and that's a cut above most people. And then they go into the military and they go to various schools. They have to learn. They have to show up on time. They have to pass their courses. And at the end, we get of a 3-4 year enlistment. You know, we've got a pretty good individual that's healthy.
They're healthy. They're drug free for almost the whole part because of the life they live. And the fact is, yeah, there is testing in there in the military much more than you have out in the outside.
And I'm glad that the military tests for drugs.
Sure.
So you've at least got somebody that came out of the military. Assuming that they didn't kicked out, for drug use, that they served their entire enlistment and
honorably.
Yes, and by the way, that's another prerequisite of providing services to some of these veterans. They have to have something other than dishonorable.
Yeah,
well, they have a work ethic.
At work,
and that is huge.
Yeah, they understand work. They understand getting up at 6 in the morning, maybe working 12 hours a day. That may not be the job they have, but our military is well trained. They're bright. They're used to taking orders. They're used to giving orders, and they can be a huge asset. And I imagine that this is. I mean, do you have do you ever get like an employers conference where you get 50 or 60 or 70 employers from the area in and talk to them? Or are you having to try and catch them one or two at a time?
The employers or the other
soldiers? The employers.
One or two at a time primarily, but we do go to job fairs. As a matter of fact, this event coming up, the California EAC, Employers Advisory Council, it's going to be May 5, 6, and 7 at the Gaia in Anderson, which, by the way, you're going to be the principal speaker on that. That's where we get a lot of employers statewide. So we have that ability. And the other thing is...
So that'll be the one. That'll be the day to talk about why you should hire a veteran and how...
You're right.
And how the training that the military gets can easily transfer over to the private industry.
Right. As a matter of fact, I sent you something yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
A message to Garcia.
I did read that.
Yeah. Everybody should read that. As a matter of fact, that was a mandatory... You had to have that document on you in the Russian Army. I think in all the Chinese, it was just worldwide. It's a fantastic document, but that also is the motto for like a lot of U.S. military units as well. Take a message to Garcia. It shows and instills responsibility and initiative. I mean,
if you haven't seen that message, just look it up on the internet. Essentially, what it was an order from a president.
McKinley
to a person fighting in Cuba and named Garcia. And he gave it to a young lieutenant or something?
Lieutenant, West Point graduate, yeah. Lieutenant Rowan, and he just took the message, didn't ask questions like, why do I have to do it? Tell Joe to do it.
He said, deliver it to Garcia, and he goes, yes, sir, and he did it.
Yep.
took him months, I think, but he got it there. It's a great, but it's great. It's a great story about initiative and tenacity and judgment and doing the job. And this is what your veterans can give to you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm honored to be able to speak at that. Thank you very much. Final thoughts here, Gare?
Just one. I would, and I know Rick's coming to this. I just want to, you know, reiterate the transitioning from military to state service little seminar. It's a video teleconference. We are showing it. It's live. It'll be held at the Medal of Honor Hall at the Department of Veterans Affairs in Sacramento on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It starts at noon, goes until 1, and we've got like 20, 25 seats in our conference room, and you're all welcome to come watch it.
Great.
And learn something.
Great. Rick?
I need to come back. There's so much more information to put out.
We'll do that. We need to do that. And we can get the lady in here, too, to talk about statistics and the local economy. I think that if it comes down to, frankly, and this is my opinion, and some people, this will offend them, that if you've got a chance to hire somebody, and you've got two people that are of equal abilities, that I'd hire the veteran.
Shasta Propane does that.
Yeah, Shasta Propane, one of our advertisers.
70% veterans hire
there. That's right. And I tell you what, there are, I think if it comes down between the two of them, then you always should hire the veteran when it comes right down to their equal. And that's just the way it is. The veterans have put something out there more. They've got a lot more skin in the game. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Jess. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. We've got a lot of great shows coming on this weekend. And, Indian, if you're listening to me, I'm bringing the bike by. Everybody have a great weekend. Everybody be safe, and we'll be back Monday. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Another Obamacare mix-up, and this one could cause tax headaches for close to a million people. A tax form with incorrect subsidy information has gone out to 800,000 users of the healthcare.gov website. 100,000 people who signed up through California's state-run exchange are also affected. They're being advised to delay filing their returns until a corrected tax form has been issued. People along the East Coast and the Deep South, parts of the Midwest, all in the same boat. A blast of Arctic cold has sent temperatures plunging. Schools in Jefferson County, Kentucky have been closed. The buses frozen in place.
They literally freeze, those temperatures freeze diesel fuel, even when we treat it with winter additives.
Jefferson County, Kentucky School Superintendent Donna Hargens. Lexington, Kentucky mail carrier Bo Lakin's advice. You have to dress for the weather.
Layer up. That's